Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 13, and it can be found on page 1042. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not in temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the other one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
I'm really pleased to have Pete here today. Otherwise we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Let's just say a quick prayer for Pete. Father, we thank you for what you've prepared in Pete to give to us this morning. We thank you, Lord. We've heard a lot about words and praise and worship. And Father, we've read things. And now we pray, Father, as we hear your word, you will deliver that to us in spades, that we'll be open to your revelation and inspiration in our lives through this word. So we pray for Pete now, Lord. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and be glorified. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Coming through now. Oh, goodness me. "My name is Maximus." That sounds better, doesn't it? "Decimus. Meridius. Commander of the armies of the north. General of the Felix legions. And loyal servant to the true emperor. Marcus Aurelius." I'm not sure if I can carry on much longer, actually. It's quite funny, at Goodley, a lady went to go and get me a glass of water. I thought about Ben-Hur, but then I stuck with the film. Gladiator, yeah. Just to get you in the mind, 2,000 years ago in Rome, just set the scene for you, for the story. Because when a Roman emperor returned to Rome triumphant, he had the privilege of marching his troops through the streets. This was such an occasion. The streets were lined with cheering people celebrating the might and the majesty and the power of the emperor. Tall, imposing soldiers lined the streets to keep the crowds in their place. At one point on the triumphal route, there was a platform on which the empress and her family were sitting to watch the procession. On the platform was the emperor's youngest son. And as the emperor came nearby, the boy jumped off the platform and burrowed his way through the crowd and then tried to dodge between the soldiers. One soldier stooped down and stopped him running towards the procession. "You can't do that, boy," he said. Don't you know who that is in the procession? That's the mighty emperor. You can't run out to his chariot. The boy responded, he might be your emperor, but he's my father. We start the Lord's Prayer by confirming our relationship with God. The disciples would never have dreamt of starting a prayer like this. To call God our Father, or today in modern English, a better translation would probably be Dad. That would have seemed disrespectful and too familiar. Yet this is the way that God invites us to approach God. If we call God our Father, it is not that it removes the might and the majesty and the power of God. It doesn't make God any less God, but it does mean that we can personally approach our mighty, majestic, and powerful God, just like the son running into to meet his emperor father. I wonder how Jesus would have said what we call today the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we say it in quite a monotone way. Well, what emotion was in his voice? Can you hear it? Last week we were encouraged perhaps to use emojis. What emojis would be through the Lord's Prayer if you had to put different emojis? What was the pace of the prayer that he delivered? Were there any pauses? You may have noticed that I often pause during a sermon. A vicar once told me to pause, to let people think about what was being said, or more importantly, to let God speak through those words and often go off on tangents. If you've preached a sermon before and somebody comes back to you and says, thank you very much, I really heard God say X, Y, Z, and you're thinking, oh, because I was preaching on ABC. Space to allow God to speak to us. And the vicar friend actually told me and said, the best way to do it is in your sermon to actually write the word pause to remind you. Otherwise, you just go straight through it. Because sometimes we can rush through the Lord's Prayer. We can take it certainly for granted, those familiar words. Because the scriptures don't actually tell us if Jesus paused between the sections of the prayer. I think he may have done so. Pause. Did I say that out loud? If we need to refresh the Lord's Prayer for ourselves because it's become too familiar, we could try different translations, different words. Or I find music very helpful. It may not be your cup of tea, but at the end of the sermon, I'll be playing a track by Andrea Bocelli. I was going to sing it to you myself, but because I've been practicing my Russell Crowe impersonation, I seem to have lost my operatic voice. It takes about 4.5 minutes. So if you're not into that music, just bear with it. But I would encourage you to listen to it. It's over 8 times the length of the normal time that we say our Lord's Prayer, because I've timed it, because I'm a bit like that. 25 seconds for that prayer. And that's the traditional prayer with all the extra little bits at the end. Sometimes we can rush through these things. We forget to pause. There are other ways to refresh and bring to life your prayers, especially using the Lord's Prayer. The important thing is just find the one that works for you. Jane will testify that this one works for me this week because I've been playing it at full volume about every other hour of the day. Because I do find it really uplifting. It could be music. It could be art. Or perhaps nature. What draws you into that place with God where you can pause, open up your hearts to Him, and allow Him into your heart. You may have noticed that the prayer in Luke is a little different than that what you may use mostly in church. That's because we usually recite the longer version that's found in the Gospel of Matthew. The version in Luke is much shorter, but has the same major points at its core. And obviously, the Lord's Prayer can be used as a shared prayer, as a basic model of our prayers. But there is another way in which the various sections can act as prompts in our prayers and give us time to contemplate what Jesus is saying through those words. The first part of the Lord's Prayer proclaims the glory of God, and this can prompt us into praise and worship. And the second part deals with us and has a hidden depth, dealing with the present, the past, and the future. And also the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we pray about our present need of bread for the day, this can prompt us to pray about all those other things that are happening at the present time, those things that are happening today, and bring them to the throne room of God. Secondly, we pray about our past, our need for forgiveness, which can prompt us to bring past situations into the presence of God. And lastly, we pray about our future trials and temptations and testings, which can prompt us to bring our future before God, especially those things that challenge our integrity and our faith. We need to lay them before God. So in these three brief familiar petitions, we can lay our present, our past, and our future before God. But it's not only a prayer that brings the whole of our lives into the presence of God. It is also a prayer that brings the whole of God into our lives. Because when we ask for bread to sustain us, our request reminds us that God is the creator. He is the sustainer of all life. When we ask for forgiveness, our request reminds us that Jesus died for our sins. And when we ask for help with future trials and temptations, our request reminds us that it's the Holy Spirit who is our comforter and our guide. So in summary, the Lord's Prayer reminds us that we are in a personal relationship with God, our Father, and that we can bring the whole of our lives, past, present, and future, before Him. And in doing so, we can bring the wholeness of God into our lives, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. I often need reassurance from God that past failures have been forgiven. They've been dealt with. I also need the assurance from God that He is with me throughout today and my future, especially during difficult and challenging times. And the song that we're about to hear fills me with that reassurance. Through the traditional words of the Lord's Prayer, I find a closeness. As I said, it may help you. Other styles of music may help you. Art or nature, whatever. But I find my hope increasing so much in the last refrain of this piece of music.